everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineers and produces our program on Fridays, does a great job. We're glad to have him on the other side of the glass, because if he was on this side of the glass, he wouldn't be hitting the proper buttons and we wouldn't hear anything. But anyway, it's Friday, August 11th, 2017. Tom, did you bring in any goodies for me to eat? I see you've got a bag over there, and I'm always wondering, did you bring in any cookies or anything that... No.
You have a choice.
You have a choice?
You got a choice between oatmeal raisin or those thin Oreo cookies.
Ooh, probably do the oatmeal raisin.
All right.
Thank you, sir. All right, and the program re-airs on KVOI Saturday morning. If you're up and about, check it out, 7 o'clock Saturday morning. The Buckmaster Show on our Friday edition, we like to do a media shout-out to the media partners. And we've got Tucson Weekly, a new edition, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, that's Harry Alexander's product, and David Morales's product, The Three Sonorans. So our Friday focus interview today, United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, a Democrat representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District, a district that I believe is probably about the largest in the United States other than the state of Wyoming, which encompasses one full congressional district. CD1 covers a huge area from the northwest suburbs of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, all the way up to the Utah-Arizona border on the north end. Joining me in the conversation with the congressman, we have Joe Ferguson. Joe is with us today. Joe covers politics for the Arizona Daily Star. And Dylan Smith, just walking in, editor and publisher of the
Just Under the Wire.
Just Under the Wire. That's okay. I didn't even need to say you just walked in. No one would have known. Online, it's Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan and Joe, thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me.
Congressman, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Hello, everybody. Bill, Joe.
Well,
who else is there?
Well, Joe Ferguson is here, and I think you go back with Joe to Flagstaff days.
Before
Flagstaff
that.
Flagstaff days is right.
Even before that, in Phoenix, we did a stint in the legislature.
Whoa. All right. Dylan, you're doing well?
Yeah, I had an interesting morning with a rattlesnake in my backyard and then walked out to a flat tire and, you know, one thing after another. But the rattlesnake was successfully relocated.
Good.
Didn't have to dispatch this one.
And when I heard you had a flat tire when you emailed me at about a quarter to 12, I thought, there's no way he's going to make it. You must have been like one of those Indianapolis 500 pit
crews. I've got a whole pit crew waiting outside my house.
I tell you.
They're just on standby.
No, you were fast. Anyway, Congressman, I along with, I think, many millions of Americans, have gotten to the point beyond concern now about a possible nuclear war with Korea, that it's gotten to the point now where it's not just a concern, it's a real, real fear. What can you tell us about Congress's role in perhaps having a say in what happens in this crisis?
Well, right now, Congress has very little to do with the process. I just sent a letter to the president requesting that, or actually to the Speaker of the House, requesting that we be called back into session so that we can start to understand the planning process that's ongoing and to understand the strategic issues that the president is talking about with his cabinet so that we can be ready for any eventuality. I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and we have been kind of kept out of the loop as far as this part of the crisis ongoing. We've been kept abreast of the ongoing issues with North Korea, but this latest escalation process, at least verbally, has brought up a lot of concerns both by myself and many others in Congress.
Are there other Congress representatives like yourself who are urging a return to bring the session back to get everybody back in Washington on this?
I know of some, but there is not a huge outpouring at this point in time. I think just because of the role of the Congress and the role we play, and if there is a war, we need to be kept abreast of what's going on. And we do these things in a confidential nature, so it wouldn't be a public process. But we do have to make sure that the different branches of government are kept abreast.
There seems to be a complete disconnect between the rhetoric that President Trump is tweeting out and announcing when he makes appearances, and what even the top leaders in his administration are saying. They're trying to dial things down. And what role do you think Congress could play in sort of stabilizing this situation somehow?
Well, the first thing is, it's going to be hard to stabilize the situation if the rhetoric keeps at these levels, because the president does have the type of coverage that Congress does not. But it would be my hope that we would start to be able to provide some level of reason to the process and get an understanding, as his Secretary of State and his Secretary of Defense has been trying to do, to create an environment where we know it's serious. We know that we can't be continually threatened by North Korea, but there are other ways of dealing with this than bringing it to a boiling point through rhetoric versus through a structured process.
We've seen in at least one instance in which the Defense Department has pretty much shrugged their shoulders and said they were going to ignore a policy that Trump tweeted about transgender service members being given the boot and no longer recruited. They pretty much said, well, whatever to that. And now we see the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, not quite as abruptly saying they're going to ignore the rhetoric about North Korea, but saying very different things. Are we approaching a point like we hit with Richard Nixon, where the highest leaders in our government had a policy of not paying attention to what the president said? When Nixon was president, the Defense Department basically said that they internally, we found out about this later, that they were not going to obey an order for a nuclear strike if Nixon gave one without discussing it amongst themselves. Are we hitting that sort of crisis point?
I don't think we've reached that point. I think what you've seen out of both the Department of Defense and the Secretary of State are trying to influence the direction of the process. I have not seen at any point right now where they have failed to address a direct order. Even on the transgender issue, the president hasn't really ordered anybody to do anything. He has stated his policy, and the military is currently undergoing a process by which they have been undergoing it to determine the impact of transgendered soldiers in the military, and that policy or that study should be out in the next few months. And I think that's what they're trying to address to the president, that we should be waiting until that point in time so we can set sound public policy versus more of a political statement.
All right, let's bring Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star into the conversation. Go ahead, Joe.
Representative O'Halloran, your former colleague at the State House said today she's considering a challenge against Flake. What do you think about Kristen Sinema's chances against Jeff Flake?
Well, I've known that Kirsten has been considering that. I didn't know that she had made any public announcement, but she's a great campaigner. She knows how to raise funds for a race of this stature. She has a broad constituency across party lines. And so I believe in a general election that she would be a very viable candidate for the Democratic Party.
All right, Congressman, we're going to take our break right here. When we come back, we're going to talk about health care. Is that a back-burnered issue? Is there a possibility of bringing it forward here in the fall? We'll bring that up with Congressman O'Halloran, who is on our live line, speaking with us from the Navajo Nation, just outside Flagstaff. Joe Ferguson is here with me in studio from the Star, and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. We'll take our break and we'll be back. 790-2040 if you have a question or comment. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, then our monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. Buckmaster, it airs on AM 1030 KVOI, got a worldwide live listening podcast, and the complete archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Democrat representing the huge congressional district of CD1, is with us on the live line. He's calling in from the Navajo Nation in northern Arizona. Dylan Smith is seated to my left here in studio. Dylan, no significance to that. Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Joe Ferguson to my right of the Arizona Daily Star. And on our live line is Carol, who would like to ask a question of the congressman. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi. Thank you, Congressman, for coming. I'm calling about the appropriations bill, and I'm fairly disappointed that you voted in favor of that because it includes funding for the border wall. And I think you were only one of about four Democrats who voted for that. And I understand the bill includes the portion of the wall in California and Texas and not Arizona, but it's still going to impact people, about 93 species of animals, and cost taxpayers a pretty ridiculous amount of money, all because Trump wants to appease his base. So I would like to know whether you intend to vote for the wall funding in Arizona, knowing that the land that this is going to go on belongs to our First Nations people, the Thanaa'atham.
Okay, Carol, we'll see what the congressman has to say. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I did vote for the entire bill, of which the wall issue was a poison pill into that bill. I voted twice before that bill got to the floor in its current stage, its final stage, against the wall. I did not want that to be in the bill. And I have just also written a letter to the leadership in the Senate to try to get that taken out of the bill. But the other items that were in the bill, our military and defense budget, our veterans issues, issues dealing directly with my congressional district, are all issues that are important to the United States of America. So if it's a protest vote that people wanted out of me, I had already extended my protest vote in a number of different ways and will continue to do so. I do not want to see any section of wall necessarily built unless the professionals tell us that it needs to be built, and so far they have not. And so it's my hope that either the $1.6 billion goes towards other types of security along the border, but not for necessarily the wall.
Okay, let's go back to the live line, 790-2040. And Lauren also wants to join in the conversation about the border wall. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, very briefly, my comment would be, if I'm not mistaken, there is a right-of-way along the border that I don't know how wide, but it belongs to the federal government. No one else can lay claim to that space. I believe it's 100% federal property, just like we have right-of-ways on our city streets.
Congressman?
Well, the Tohono-O'odham Nation, there is no right-of-way through that area. That is part of their tribal lands. Also, there are many disagreements as far as who is in ownership, and there have been many lawsuits over the last few years concerning where the walls have been placed, there's been fairly extensive processes that we've been going through in order for the government to be able to prove that it has the ability to place a wall where they want to.
What about this Problem Solvers Caucus that you have joined with Congresswoman McSally and I think several dozen other United States representatives? What is that all about?
Well, there's 43 of us, both about equal Republican and Democrats, and it's about trying to bring people together to solve the priority issues that face America. We cannot continue to go year after year after year and not find some resolution to these issues. It's hurting our citizens. It's costing us money. It's not setting the appropriate example for folks that government can work. And so we've come together, and hopefully more will join on to create an environment that where we work together instead of shout at one another.
The proposal that you and the rest of that caucus, including McSally, put out about changing the Affordable Care Act would increase the number of employees a business has to have before they have to offer health insurance from 50 to 500. That's a very significant change. And wouldn't that essentially leave a, even just here in Arizona, tens of thousands of people who wouldn't be getting health care who are getting it now?
No, and as a matter of fact, the studies have shown that that would not be the case. Those people could still get insurance through their employer. Their employer could still subsidize through the marketplace. Every one of those people would qualify to come into the current marketplace within Arizona.
Could, but wouldn't be required to.
Would not be required to.
All right, that's Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Here's Joe Ferguson of The Star. Joe?
Congressman, where's the bill? If this is such a popular proposal, where's the bill?
Well, the bill is being formulated right now. We've had some resistance from leadership on putting a bill forward. There still seems to be a discussion amongst the Republicans in the Senate that they want to do a standalone bill, not a bipartisan process. And so until we have insight that a bill would be heard, there's not much to put forward. And quite frankly, we have put the outline of what a bill would look like, and it would continue to fund Medicare. I should say Medicaid. It would not take money out of Medicare. It would allow for the 10 essential elements that are in the current Affordable Care Act to stay in, including pre-existing conditions and others, but it would have some impact on lowering the burden for small businesses in our country.
Because of the sort of divisions we've seen, especially amongst the Republican Party on health care issues, wouldn't this bill, even if you were to file it, be just as dead on arrival as any of these other proposals have been?
Well, that's why we're trying to work behind the scenes on this with other representatives and senators to try to find the type of mass necessary to get this type of a process moving. You know, it's right now to date, 7+ months, we're in a situation where we still have people worrying about their health care. We have to stabilize this system and then start to have this discussion in a reasonable time period to be able to move forward. But to have millions and millions of Americans worrying every day if all of a sudden subsidies are going to be cut or pre-existing conditions, this is just not the way to conduct business in America and have the stress on our families and people that are elderly to have that type of stress on them. So we have to send a clear signal to the American people that we are not going to be cutting subsidies and that we are going to move in a direction of trying to find compromise for health care in America.
All right. So health care, in your opinion, will come back then after Labor Day, or what's it going to take?
Well, first of all, if it's up to the president, it looks like it's going to come back. I think what it's going to take is the majority leader of the House to make very clear that he's still going to be willing to work on health care. There is so much to do after we come back. We have the budget. We have tax reform. We have the debt ceiling. And we have potentially infrastructure bill. But that's one of the main reasons why we can't allow people to think that because we are doing these other elements that the people are going to be left uninsured. And this is affecting, particularly at this time, the insurance companies who are now right now making decisions on whether they're going to have coverage or not in the marketplace. And that's one of the issues we wanted to get resolved by sending this message out from the problem solvers.
Are you hearing from your constituents during this break about health care?
I hear about it all the time. I've heard about it for 7.5 months, and we'll hear about it some more. I mean, we've heard about it for the Affordable Care Act. We've heard about it for universal health care or Medicare for all. We've also heard about it from the Republicans, but this is an ongoing process, and it's something that we can't just brush under the carpet and say, oh, well, we'll work on it another time. We've gone too far to be able to say that. We have to address this issue.
All right, Congressman O'Halloran, thank you very much for spending part of your day with us. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Congressman Tom O'Halloran with us on the live line from the Navajo Nation up in northern Arizona. Joe Ferguson sticks around from the Arizona Daily Star, as does Dylan Smith. We've got our Friday roundtable portion of our program coming up after we take the mid-show break, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC-CR60305859. EnhanceOpenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith is here. Dylan's day got off to a rather rocky start. Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com, where he's the editor and publisher. Rattlesnake in the backyard, then a flat tire.
It's all good now.
Yeah, it's all good. He's here, and that's the most important
thing.
Snake
was taken care of, appropriately.
Oh, okay. I won't even go there.
No. Yeah. We called somebody and he took a trip somewhere else.
You took appropriate action. There you go.
And then my dogs weren't in immediate danger, so I didn't have to run for the shovel or anything. Mm-hmm.
And Joe Ferguson is here, Arizona Daily Star political reporter, and he's been going to so many of the Ward 3 debates that he's now qualified to be the music critic at the at the Arizona Daily Star, because one of the candidates has been bursting out in song, and it's not just at one debate. It's been three, Joe.
She's been doing a great job of just kind of surprising us all with music. Two nights ago, it was an original piece that she penned specifically for the forum, so it wasn't even ad-libbed.
Hmm. And how's her voice?
It's not bad, but I think she probably should stick to teaching.
Okay. This race, the Ward 3 primary, is getting a tremendous amount of attention. Probably the reason is because it's kind of the only show in town right now. It's just the one contested debate, and you've covered a lot of these. Are they now pretty much that's it for the debates?
There's rumbling of one more on Monday night, but I'm still gathering string on that.
And if folks haven't really heard from any of the candidates and they're curious about the way they sound on a few of the issues, we are re-airing our little half-hour forum that we did with the three candidates. We're going to do that on Wednesday's show of next week. Dylan, it gets to a primary where you get, a couple thousand people voting.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to tell how it's going to go.
In general, especially in years when the mayor's not on the ballot, and, we haven't really seen too many contested mayoral primaries in quite a while either. But, in these sort of, off-year, I guess you could call them, city council primaries, the turnout is very, very, very low. You see just, a few thousand people. Here we've got, three Democrats who all at least from what we can tell seem to be running rather neck and neck for support. So this is going to come down to very much a turnout game, and could be a pretty close vote.
But this is the first time we're doing all mail-in elections for a city primary, so this should bump up that number by a little bit. If you consider what's inside the envelope, it's one choice for three people, and that's it.
If you're a Democrat in Ward 3.
Or
an independent who has actually asked for a Democratic ballot, you have to request one.
Correct. And then there's two Greens in Ward 6, but not a lot of people are getting that mail.
How many of those got sent out?
A handful. Not a lot.
So what has separated the three candidates, to answer my own question, from that I posed to you, Joe Ferguson, but from what I recall when I had the three of them seated here together, seems like the one thing they disagreed on was the Strong Start Tucson initiative.
And that's what Karen Ulick said about why she endorsed Felicia, was her strong support for Strong Start. But each of them come from a different part of the community. All of them have different people backing them, so there is a little bit of that. So
who's kind of the traditional candidate that might garner the most of the traditional support?
Would that
be Durham?
I think Durham, because he worked as a chief of staff for Nina Traceoff and then was a member of the Pima County Democratic Party as a treasurer some years ago, probably has a little bit of name recognition inside the party.
Hmm.
He's, I think, has the most of what you would call the establishment Democrat backing.
Why don't we talk about the big story of the week as far as the way people were reacting this week on Facebook? It certainly, Dylan, had to be the dust-up surrounding the Rainbow Crosswalk, the painting of the Rainbow Crosswalk in downtown Tucson.
You know, I think this got way too much attention for, what is a pretty apparently a case of vandalism. It's kind of hard to, say that as a matter of fact, but, somebody tossed some paint, apparently, at the crosswalk, pretty much missed the crosswalk. I mean, we have some, our vandals in Tucson really need to up their game, because this was, not a good attempt. So really, the people who sought this sort of attention for apparently trying to deface it didn't do a good job, and probably should not be as notorious for this attempt as they have become.
But, Joe, I think that a lot of the controversy is around that this was taxpayer money being used on this in the first place.
Well, I think that's a complicated issue. But at the end of the day, ward offices often have money left over that they use to pay for things. They donate to charities. They sponsor events. They do small ward-only type of events that, largely go under the radar. So
a lot of, the roundabout decorations that you see, the traffic circles in neighborhoods are paid for from ward office budgets and things like that.
People were going crazy, though, because they were saying this cost the taxpayers, $12,000-$13,000. And this money could have been used to fix potholes.
One pothole?
I don't know.
Hey, how much does it cost to fix a pothole? It costs a lot of money to get to fix a pothole.
What does it cost to paint a crosswalk without the colors?
$12,500 out of the city budget that was transferred from the leftovers from the ward office. Leveraged another $40,000 or $50,000 to get to the entire cost of what it took to redo these crosswalks. So you can look at it that way. Certainly out of my personal budget, $12,000 is a nice chunk of money. Out of the city of Tucson's budget, or even an individual ward office, that's not so much. And it leveraged a great deal of more private funding for this project. That has in some ways gotten Tucson a lot of national attention. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because some idiot pulled a stunt, but we probably would have gotten some other attention otherwise. And makes Tucson Tucson having done this in the first place makes our city look good.
Mm. Well, it's better than the other news of the week that our police chief got his car broken into.
Yeah, it did. The controversy over the crosswalk sort of ended the controversy over the chief of police having his the window of his car smashed and his backpack stolen.
Mm. We have one less candidate, Joe Ferguson, for the congressional district race in CD number 2. One of the Democrats, Charlie Verdin, has withdrawn.
Yes, he has. He says that he's happy with some of the candidates that are in the race, and he feels that he needs to devote more time to his business. It's always good to hear that businesses are doing well in Tucson, but it's one less face in the crowd.
And he's in the gaming business, not the casino gaming business, but recreational gaming business.
Yep, he sells a lot of merchandise.
Swag associated with video games.
Okay. So that puts us down to 5 candidates.
5, I think. I
have 5 this week.
I haven't checked my email. There might be somebody in and somebody else out today, this morning. But, it's fluctuating. We're still, a year out, but we're hitting the point where if somebody's going to make a serious run to challenge Martha McSally, they're really going to have to pull together a, a campaign, raise real dollars, and despite being months and months and months away on the calendar, it's coming down to the wire as far as that.
How about Mr. O'Halloran, who we just interviewed? Any idea if there have been any challengers coming? Will he be primaried? Have you heard anything about that, Joe?
We haven't heard anything about a primary, but certainly he's got
in the general, there's going to be a couple of Republican candidates, right?
Senator Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've interviewed him, and there's one other one, too, that slips my mind, but he'll certainly, the Republicans are going to have a primary in CD2. Dylan, what about TUSD? That's one of the other stories here I want to talk about. TUSD revealed their four candidates, and why was it just, I had Rachel Sedgwick on the program yesterday. We were talking a bit about, from a legal point of view, why not just announce at the meeting? But she felt that she wanted to give, the board wanted to give them, quote, professional courtesy that their name is going to be announced to the meeting.
You know, courts in Arizona have found that there is no legal foundation for keeping that kind of information from the public to be courteous to a job applicant. You know, when especially after they have voted for people, instead of voting for finalists to be the head of Tucson's largest school district by name, they voted for them by letter and just, you know, would not, steadfastly refused to tell anybody who those people were. And that, you know, it's been essentially laughed out of court when Tucson Unified School District has tried to do this before in a slightly different way and wouldn't release the resumes of the applicants the last time around, you know, claiming not just professional courtesy, but that if they tell people about it, that good people won't apply. And the judge in that case said that was, you know, completely unproven. They offered no evidence of that assertion.
Well, what do you make of the list, Dylan?
Well, we've got three pretty familiar candidates. Three people who have experience in TUSD. One's not working for TUSD at the moment, but did for quite some time.
That candidate has gone on from TUSD, I believe, to be involved with the charter school business.
Yeah, he's working for a charter chain in Metro Phoenix.
Okay.
The other candidate is an outsider, somebody from Kentucky who has a rather controversial backstory. She was just ousted as the head of the schools in Louisville, Kentucky, was paid $200,000 to go away.
The governor of Kentucky said some things about her. This is Dr. Harjan.
The governor, the Republican governor of Kentucky, who's not a great big fan of public education, so you can take his comments with a grain of salt, but he said that school district that she ran for 6 years is an unmitigated disaster.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and you know, there have been tons of controversies going on there. That district's under an audit by the state, might be taken over by the state. So how this person became a finalist to run TUSD is something that no one on the board wants to talk about right now. And they reviewed the resumes and the information that they had in executive session and refused to talk about what sort of information that they had or did not have when they were, you know, looking at who the candidates were. So they just say that, you know, well, you'll get to talk to these people next week when the first 4 days of next week, Monday through Thursday, these candidates are supposed to come and meet with the board and be interviewed, meet with employee groups, and have public Q&As where people can go check them out and press them on how they would lead TUSD.
Dr. Trujillo, Gabriel Trujillo, appears to be, from my point of view, as the inside, I think he has kind of the inside track. He is the interim right now.
Whether the board is going to agree with the things that he's been doing as the interim enough to, you know, run with him through the long haul, you know, we'll have to see. With such a divided board that, you know, that we've seen for years and years now in one way or another, getting them to try and agree on a candidate will probably be interesting.
Let's go to a different topic, Joe Ferguson, a story you've been writing about, the U of A, kind of the dust up between the U of A and this dormitory that's being proposed. Has that kind of settled down now?
It's hard to say. Last Tuesday, the council voted to probably try to wait and see, but one candidate or one council member told me they're keeping the powder dry. So,
what's the issue for our listeners who are not following it? What's the basic?
The city of Tucson is fighting because the U of A wants to build a megadome in a Tucson neighborhood that's outside the planning boundaries of the U of A. Okay. The U of A has made no attempt to go through the city's zoning process, and as a state entity may claim that they don't have to. So that means a denser development with less parking, violate the height limits, things of that nature that, generally speaking, the city of Tucson would have had a role in.
And this is land that is partly owned by the U of A, right now partly owned by a private company that would be the developer, but they want to sell it to the U of A to pretty transparently try and dodge these zoning and planning requirements from the city and then lease it back, right?
Yes, and the city of Tucson saw this developer try 4 years ago to build the exact same structure in the exact same space, and it was rejected.
Ran into all of the barriers, and the city said no.
Well, the city didn't get a chance to say no, but definitely the neighborhood voiced their huge concerns about it.
Okay, Joe, so what are we? Will we see any of your work in the weekend papers?
You're going to see something this weekend about the U of A asking for control of about a dozen streets just north of campus that they want to take over. That includes a portion of where that dorm would be built.
Would that be for parking issues mostly? Or
the U of A isn't saying a lot about this, and the city says even less, but they say that it's pretty common for them to ask for control of streets next to campus.
And a big story, I think, and it will turn out to be a huge story, and it's good for the U of A, the Willem de Kooning that was stolen from the University of Arizona Museum of Art in a 1985 was when that the day after Thanksgiving has turned up. Actually found, I believe, a Good Samaritan has come forward in Silver City, New Mexico, and has returned the de Kooning. It's been authenticated. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Dylan. That's why
they said it's the real one.
The real one. Anyway, I think a companion piece of this de Kooning is worth like tens of millions of dollars.
It's you know, certainly not common for works like that to be stolen in the first place.
Right.
And then for them to just sort of turn up not very far away is, you know, even a little bit odder that it made it, you know, to Silver City, New Mexico. Well, who knows where it's been in the meantime.
I know. It's an interesting story. If the painting could talk, right? Joe Ferguson will look for your work at the Arizona Daily Star. And Dylan Smith will look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. All righty then, that music on the Buckmaster Show always signals my favorite time of the week. Weekend Watch, signaling the weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great getaway just about 3 hours east of Tucson. And what a delightful place to get away from it all. 15 degrees cooler, that's because of the great elevation. A little bit higher than Tucson. Explore historic Silver City, or why not visit the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. Lots to do. Great places to stay. Check it all out at southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell is the host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and a guy who just loves a good meal and a good drink. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you? We made it to Friday.
We did, sir. You always bring these great happy hours to the attention of our listeners. Could you do it again today?
I am happy to do it. You know, the famous happy hour at Zen Burger just got a little happier this week with its official extension to 7 days a week. I mean, why should happy hour be limited to Monday through Friday, right?
What?
Plus, they've also added an extra hour to the festivities, which you can enjoy today and every day from 3 to 6 p.m. Summer Happy Hour serves up 6 different varieties of the Zinni Burger for only $5 each, with half-off glasses and bottles of wine, half-off draft beer, cocktail discounts. I say make Zen Burger your gateway to the weekend.
Oh, I love their burgers. Anything going on with a Godfather dinner?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about you, Bill, but whenever I watch the original Godfather movie, I start to crave Italian food before the first shot is fired. Now, there's an event tonight that brings cuisine and crime together in a delicious way. Check it out. It's the Godfather Dinner and Movie at the Temple of Music and Art, which is going to showcase a 5-course Italian meal followed by a showing of the Godfather on the big screen. Dinner starts at 5:30. The entire package is only $100, which includes wine with every course and the movie after dinner. This sounds like an offer you can't refuse.
You know, it's always fun you tell us about restaurant openings. Anything new in that front?
They keep coming, Bill. Another new restaurant has just opened its doors here. And this one is built around two of my favorite foods, barbecue and pizza, under one roof. It's called Fire and Smoke, kind of a thoughtful combination of wood-fired pies and slow-smoked barbecue on Tancredi, just a little bit west of Sakura. Now, as I understand it, these guys have traveled extensively throughout the pizza and barbecue regions of the U.S., and they think they've nailed it. And I'll be stopping by to check it out for myself, making Fire and Smoke part of my weekend watch calendar.
Well, that is going to be a fun weekend for you, sir. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Bill.
All right, Matt Russell, always fun with Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show. Well, how did the Tet Offensive turn the tide of the American press in Vietnam against its own country? Author of Black Hawk Down, Mark Bowden, joins Charles Heller with the really much talked about new book, Way, on Liberty Watch, Sunday at 11 a.m. This is a real get for Mr. Heller. I'm going to be listening. Of course, that comes up right after You Know What It Is, Swap Shop Train a-comin' on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. The Bill Buckmaster program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. A few quick shout-outs. Rosemary Brandt, my longtime assistant, does a great job making sure all of our podcasts are put up very timely. We've got archives going back to day one, back in January of 2011 at buckmastershow.com. Tom Fairbanks, thank you, sir. You do such a great job engineering and producing our program. Ray Allen, Monday through Thursday, does a terrific job as well. And really, I'm running out of time, so I just want to say thank you, KVOI, for hosting the Buckmaster Show. Have a great weekend.